Lights low.
My allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Brousseau?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Ms. Lanuszewski?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Here.
Ms. Turl?
Here.
Ms. White?
Here.
Mayor Kelch?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. We have a special order of business, proclamation Juneau Pride 2016. And it is with particular sensitivity that I offer this proclamation tonight in honor of Juneau Pride 2016. Prior to reading the proclamation, I would like to dedicate the Assembly's attention to the community of Orlando, Florida, who experienced an unspeakable tragedy this weekend. We offer our support, prayers, and compassion to the many families, friends, and loved ones who have been touched by this terrible tragedy. May we have a moment of silence to acknowledge the suffering that the community of Orlando is going through. Thank you. The Office of the Mayor, City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, Proclamation Juneau Pride 2016. Whereas Juneau Pride is sponsored each year by the Southeast Alaska Gay and Lesbian Alliance and the parents, families, and friends of lesbians and gays, Juneau, two organizations that provide social and support services to the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community in Juneau and Southeast Alaska. And whereas Juneau Pride 2016 commemorates the 1969 Stonewall riots, considered by many to be the catalyst for the LGBT movement for civil rights in the United States. Whereas Juneau Pride is a celebration of the diversity of Juneau and of the LGBT community's tremendous contribution to our city, state, nation, and world. And whereas June 26, 2015 marked a monumental milestone in the quest for equal rights of LGBT individuals with a ruling by the United States Supreme Court affording same-sex couples the same rights and benefits of heterosexual couples. And whereas Juneau Pride 2016 is an opportunity to unite individuals, organizations, businesses, and community leaders in support of equality for LGBT individuals, including freedom from discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identification. And whereas Juneau Pride 2016 promotes dignity, equality, and self-affirmation for LGBT Alaskans, thus supporting all Juneau residents' efforts to participate fully in the social and economic life of our city. And whereas Juneau Pride 2016 will share its celebration by inviting the entire Juneau community to participate in a week of cultural events beginning Saturday, June 11th. Now, therefore, I, Kendall D. Kelch, Mayor of the City Borough of Juneau, on behalf of the City and Borough Assembly, do hereby proclaim June 2016 as Juneau Pride 2016. Congratulations. Is there a manager's request for agenda changes?
No changes.
Is there public participation on non-agenda items? There appear to be. I have the sign-up sheet right here. Yes?
I didn't get signed up.
We'll get you right after that.
I didn't get the sign-up either.
All right, we will get there. You bet. Is it William, Q-U-A-Y-L-K? It's you?
Whale.
Whale. Okay. come forward, please. State your name and address, and we normally allow about two and a half minutes. Mr. Quayle.
I'm William Quayle, 415 Willoughby, and I'm here again about Pedicycle. When it comes to, I've approached about the problem in that, and with a single person like myself trying to start this late in the season, okay, it would take me 160 rides, and they want $1,500 for me. It's not prorated. Okay, that means I can't make any money. All right. Best thing to do, the sanity's got to stop. Okay, I'm not the only one that has this problem with the city taxing people. I mean, giving outrageous fees up front, and they have to take loans to get the. And it's better to have the city works as a partner than, and on a percentage basis, like when they take the sales tax, they add on another 5%. And that way, the business doesn't have to take all their profits for trying to recover for their permit fees. And this has to be addressed, and I'm announcing that I'm going to run for the assembly for District 1. I'm going to pursue it. The best thing to do is for me to try to get this taken care of. If you want something done, you do it yourself. And the sanity's got to stop, okay? And there's a lot of things that need to be fixed, okay? I see it, okay? And the homeless problem, when it comes to the housing, it's got to be taken care of. And I think I'd be, with my leadership and foresight, I would help a lot.
Thank you, Mr. Quayle. Are there any questions directed to Mr. Quayle? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Wesley Johnson, Downtown Violence.
Hello, my name is Wesley J. Johnson. I live out at the Thane Campground. And last Monday, I was attacked by 7 individuals downtown who basically saw me as a white person and just wanted, were just out to looking for a fight. So I went outside and had a cigarette, and I was on shift that night in front of the Alaskan Hotel. And I was approached by 3 people, a lady and a guy who was her son, and he was talking to me, and I was trying to talk him down because he was very angry at the time. And as his mom punched me in the face 2 times on the side, I pushed her away, and they all just basically jumped on top of me and beat me up pretty bad.
Are there any questions? Stroll.
Thank you, Mayor Kelch. So what would concern us would be the response of the police, and did they respond, and what was your assessment of that?
I had to run to them. I ran around the block to the police station over here, and that's where I told them what happened. And they called the ambulance for me, and they took my statement there of how it went down. And yeah. So the investigative unit has taken over the case, and they're putting together video footage and matching up all the faces and stuff still. But from what I heard, this happened again last night. 7 to 8 people jumped on one person and put him in the hospital. And I just think it needs to be addressed.
Thank you for sharing that information. Our police chief is here. I'm sure he's making due note.
Right on.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Johnson. Eric Morrison.
My name is Eric Morrison. I live on Franklin Street. I'm here in support of West, but also in support of the downtown community. It surprises me that to see the look of shock or surprise on most of your faces, but this is almost a daily occurrence. Like you said, it happened again last night. This is twice in a week of a gang of people beating up innocent people on Franklin Street. That is unacceptable. Almost daily. I work on Franklin. I live on Franklin. I see it every day, all the troubles. And there, I'm not trying to be disparaging against the police, because I think they do a great job with the resources they have. But this is a serious issue that needs to be addressed. The community is not adequately addressing it. And I just hope that the assembly would seriously put some resources forward to it and stop what's happening downtown right now, because this is not the community that we should live in. Us that live down here, work, pay our taxes, do all what we're supposed to do, we should not be having to live in fear or be intimidated. It's just unacceptable. And I implore you, please, please, take this issue seriously. Because this is happening literally real time. This happened last night again after we discussed coming down here to have a discussion here. So that's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Joe Rushner.
Butler. Like Eric and the other gentleman, I'm here to bring some attention to the crime, the downtown crime. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. I live downtown, work for the state. And as Eric said, just about every day we have to deal with something. Just on my walk here today to get to this meeting, I saw a drug deal and another person catcalling a woman, a tourist, on the street. I've been assaulted while walking my dog at 5 o'clock in the afternoon around Twin Lakes. Up on Gastineau, we have people living in their cars, going to the bathroom, all over. It's a little nervous. It's really just gotten out of control. My wife works downtown around the same time that this gentleman was attacked, and I worry about her. I really worry about her. And it's just getting worse, and it seems like it's gotten worse just in the last 6 months. Really bad. So, please take note and see what you can do to fix this problem. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We had a...
My topic is on the consent agenda, I do believe, unless it's been removed, and that is the rezoning.
Okay. If it's on the consent agenda, it will not be discussed tonight. It can't be discussed by the assembly. But it will be discussed in full either at a committee of the whole or at an assembly meeting when it's dealt with.
It should not be on the consent agenda. It's very long and should not be there.
Who put it on the consent agenda?
We can't have this discussion. Mr. Mayor,
Madam Attorney,
I don't know if this will help, but when an ordinance is being considered by the assembly, it's a two-part process. The first part of the process requires that it be introduced, that the public be alerted that there is an ordinance that will be considered at an upcoming meeting, and we do that by introduction. And our charter prohibits any public discussion at that introduction meeting. The only thing that can happen is the ordinance is introduced, the title is made public, it is referred to committee, or it is set for a public hearing. But the assembly at this point cannot consider it. But that this appearing on the consent agenda is the first part in that two-part process.
So the fact it's not a consent agenda doesn't mean that it will go through tonight.
May I Mayor. Being on the consent agenda, it's not the same as some other entities where the consent agenda means an automatic approval. This is just the introduction of the ordinance that will be heard at a later date.
Thank you very much. I thought that was an automatic approval is why I brought this
on.
I'm very sorry. Thank you.
Okay, was there anyone else that...
Mayor? Oh. I'm James Sidney, live 10400 Glacier Highway. And, yeah, I was under the impression on the consent agenda item that it was going to be pulled as the public were not being listened to for it to even be put forward as an ordinance. But if that's your process, we will still come up and attack it, I guess. If that's what it takes. I had two other items that I wanted to bring up tonight, and I had brought it up several meetings back. One was about the 10% property tax cap that was passed back in the 80s by Gordon Epperly. And I keep running across it that we're up to 10.3 mils now. We're over the top of the 10 mil tax cap. And somebody had told me at one point that they were able to get around the 10 mil cap by what is it? It was bonded items were allowed to go over it. I just wanted to let everybody know that the 10% or 10 mil tax cap is still in there. You guys are still raising your taxes every year by 5 to 6%, and you're not considering what you've been doing for the last almost 40 years of raising the mill rate every year. Oh, not the mill rate, but the tax value of the property in Juneau, and holding the mill rate the same, saying you're doing your business, holding the same, but you've been getting a 6% increase annually with nobody saying a word. And I've been saying a word, and I wanted to put it back up tonight that I'm saying a word. You don't need to have an automatic increase without working for it. The other item is, too, is on our... that I've come up to, nobody will give me a decent answer on it, is when we do an LID, which I was just involved with a sewer LID for the Park Bay Hill there and the industrial property, there was a lot of properties that opted out of the LID process and didn't pay into it. Now the city is adding 340 acres and a big subdivision to our sewer that these people in this LID paid for. How do we get reimbursed for that LID cost that we paid when the city's utilizing our LID? And it's also this 19 acres that's being rezoned to D5 up to D10. How are they going to reimburse the property owners that paid for that LID? Because there's already been several people that I've hooked up to it that are outside the LID originally, and I don't see anything coming back to my $1,900 a year that I'm paying for 20 years for my property. And I'm sure I'm not the only one in the borough that has seen that somebody's being messed with. We're paying for the LID, and then everybody's coming out the outside for affordable housing or whatever and saying, we need to hook up to the sewer line because now we have it available. But nobody's paying back the people that paid for it. Now I wanted to get somebody's input on it.
Can we go ahead and have those answered, but not right now?
We can do reports on both items, and we'll figure out when to schedule them on which committee's agenda or assembly meeting, as you prefer.
I guess that's a Rory question. Sorry.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Smith.
Okay. Now, we're going to reschedule this consent agenda item and not have it on a consent, or is it?
It will be heard either at a committee of the whole, and there will be adequate notice, or at the next.
Yeah, because now they want to put these 200 units back in this swamp back here that's hooked up with all the fish streams, and now they want to put an asphalt plant right in front of it. And it's kind of, things are kind of going kind of crazy out in our neighborhood. And I think a little crazy. I mean, 240 units? No. It's, the city's putting 360 lots behind me. Now somebody wants to put 270 units in front of me, and then they want to put an asphalt plant next to me.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Point of order?
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Was there anyone else that would like to speak on non-agenda items? Up here.
We've got to stop this.
I'm the resident manager of the Alaskan Hotel, although not anymore.
Name?
Can we have your name and address?
My name is Paul Jenny, and I work at the Alaskan Hotel, 167 South Franklin. There have been three incidents in the last 3 years. The first one was a bartender who was assaulted with a pint glass when she tried to evict somebody out of the bar. He's a crazy man. He shouldn't have been on the streets to begin with. The second was C. Scott Fry, which I think we're all familiar with. And he was beaten to death. He was only brought back to life by the CPR and Bartlett Hospital by some arbitrary guy that should not have been on the streets. The police had been called 3 times about the guy before he assaulted Scott. Now Wes and a gang of 7 who assaulted him out in the front of the hotel and chased him 4 blocks before he ever got help. Am I angry? Yes. Something has to be done. Somebody's going to get killed, and then the city, and I'm really not sure how I feel about this city anymore. But enough's enough. You guys have to do something, and the police department has to do something. And when the people who assaulted him and the guy who tried to kill Scott are walking the streets, they're not being held responsible. They're not being held accountable. It has to stop. We live downtown. We work hard. It's time for the city to show real respect for its citizens.
All right, was there anyone else that did sign up on a particular subject?
My name is Brent Warren. I live on 323 3rd Street. And, you know, I have to deal with the same, not just violence, but just the impediment of a problem that I don't feel the police department deals with on a daily basis or in any way takes seriously is what I'm trying to say. As a taxpayer, you know, I mean, I'm a fisherman. I'm gone all the time, and I have to leave my wife at home alone. And there's robberies in the neighborhood. I live on 3rd Street, the other Alaskan General Store, or whatever it's called, was broken in just around the corner, and she drove from Lena Cove and beat the police department there. I feel uncomfortable, you know, leaving my home with my wife by herself. I get accosted walking the 2 blocks to go buy a pack of cigarettes, which, by the way, pays a lot of taxes in this town, so don't start talking about raising those things. But, you know, I'm serious. My problem is not just the violence and the what's happening in the community. My problem is the non-response from the police department. And that's not a priority for them. A priority for them is to walk around and make sure the tourists are not again accosted. Not the people that sit here, live here year-round, and pay taxes. Where, I mean, they're not there in February. That's all I want to bring to the point. It is not a priority for the police department in this town to defend the taxpaying citizens that live downtown year-round. Run out.
Okay, we have one more person.
My name is Marie Rose. I live at 713 Fifth Street. I'm here also in support of Wes. I've been bartending at the Alaskan Bar for about the last 9 months. And Wes is the guy that always at the end of the night when I'm about to walk home always makes sure that I feel safe walking home. He has always had my back for the entire time that we've both worked there and known each other. And, you know, like the last couple of guys said, things have felt really unsafe the last few months. I can tell you that half the people in these first two rows right here have either walked me home or offered to on a regular basis. And that's not something I ever want to have to ask somebody. I like to be on my own. I'd like to be able to know I can get home at night. Paul, even the who was managing the hotel, offered to give me a room at the hotel one night when I was afraid of someone following me home. And I live on Star Hill. It's not that far. I shouldn't have to think about those things. So I just want to reiterate that I hope it's really something you take into consideration and try to address. Thank you.
Thank you. There is another section. Jamie?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to thank you all for coming tonight and speaking. These are real issues, real people, and we need to know about those issues. The police department needs to know, and we want to all feel safe where we work and where we live and play. So I'm sure the chief of police is listening right now, and I hope that we can achieve that safety and comfort level that we used to. I also wanted to say that I think there are residents here from the engineer's cutoff that wanted to talk about the rezone, but not going to because it's on the consent agenda. But from what I've heard from these residents, there's other issues that they want to talk about with that property, and I wonder if their concerns about access to the property can be spoken about. Some feel that they have not been heard when they voiced their opposition to certain things. Can they talk about that tonight on non-agenda items?
There's another segment of the agenda after we go through the consent agenda and the motions that would have an opportunity, and we can check with the lawyer to make sure that that would be permissible at that stage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Right, that brings us to the consent agenda. And we have public requests for consent agenda changes other than ordinance or introduction. And seeing how there are none, assembly requests for consent agenda changes.
This is not an ordinance, so.
Okay. Assembly action, Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of the consent agenda and ask unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? Okay. Consent agenda is approved. Brings us to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business, Mr. Manager?
Public
hearing. Did I skip over something?
Yeah.
That brings us to public hearings. All right. Public hearing on ordinance 2015-20. Madam Clerk.
AR, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $53,100 as additional funding for the airport rescue and firefighting cost center. Funding provided by the Juneau International Airport operating revenue.
Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, this is a supplemental appropriation to the FY16 airport operating budget for additional expenses in the airport rescue and firefighting cost center. The ARC station responding capabilities must be increased to meet FAA requirements for a higher frequency of large aircraft used by Alaska Airlines. FY16 airport revenues are projected to be sufficient for this increase in expenses. The Airport Board approved this action at its April 27th special meeting. The Assembly Finance Committee approved this action at its May 11th meeting. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there anyone that wishes to speak on this ordinance? Seeing none, Ms. White, may I have a motion, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I Move that the Assembly adopts Ordinance 2015-20AR and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? The motion carries. Ordinance 2015-20. Madam Clerk.
A.S. An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $10 million as funding for CBJ biosolids treatment and disposal and the CBJ treatment plant headworks improvement projects. Loan funding provided by the State of Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, Alaska Clean Water Fund, State Revolving Fund.
Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, this appropriating ordinance will provide $10 million for two wastewater projects, the biosolids treatment and disposal project and the headworks improvements project. $6 million will be funded for the biosolids project, and that project will receive an additional $10 million loan from DEC in the next few months. $4 million from this action will provide funding for the treatment plant headworks project. These projects were bundled into a single loan package to simplify and streamline the DEC loan application process. Resolution 2760 to enter into a loan agreement with DEC for the remaining $10 million for the biosolids project was approved at the prior Assembly meeting on May 23rd. The Public Works and Facilities Committee heard this issue and reviewed project timelines at its May 16th meeting and forwarded this ordinance to the full Assembly for approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there anyone here in the public that wishes to speak to this? Seeing none, Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move we adopt Ordinance 2015-20AS and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Seeing none. The motion passes. Ordinance 2016-15B. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the traffic code relating to driver license violations and providing for a penalty.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would amend the traffic code by making code sections relating to driving without a valid license and driving with a canceled, suspended, or revoked license identical to state law, and by making the penalties to be imposed consistent with state law. With these changes, CBJ code will be in compliance with Alaska statute. Version B of this ordinance incorporates the amendments made to state law by SB 91, which take effect on July 1st, 2016. Changes made in Version B are italicized. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to speak on this ordinance? Seeing none, Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move adoption of Ordinance 2016-15B, and I would ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Motion carries. Now we get to unfinished business.
We have none, Mr. Mayor.
Excellent. That brings us to new business. Madam Clerk.
Mr. Mayor, you mentioned something about Peterson Hill, and there is a process, and I just want to tell you that there's a process that I can tell the public about when you're ready to take that up.
Okay. Thank you. Let's roll through some of these while we're making progress.
This is a CBJ review of State of Alaska Standard Marijuana Cultivation Facility License Number 10026, Rainforest Farms, LLC.
Mr. Manager.
The State Alcohol Marijuana Control Office sends local governing bodies notice of marijuana license application, which allows local governing bodies the opportunity to protest or waive its right to protest the issuance or renewal of these licensees. CBJ received notice of its first state cultivation facility license, Rainforest Farms, to be located at 5763 Glacier Highway. CBJ staff from police, fire, finance, and community development departments reviewed this application for compliance with CBJ laws and regulations and recommend the Assembly waive its right to protest the issuance of this license. Additionally, the Community Development Department stated The application is in compliance with Title 49. The conditions on the approved conditional use permit will be addressed through the building permit process and ongoing operations. Planning Department in particular has no protest. The full set of documents available to the Assembly for the application are online, and we've included a subset of those documents in the packet tonight. I recommend that you waive your right to protest the issuance of this license.
Okay, is there any public comment? Seeing none, Ms. Kladyszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would recommend that the Assembly waive its right to protest, move that the Assembly waive its right to protest the issuance of this license and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Seeing none, the motion carried. All right, Ms. Purcell, would you at this stage ask our attorney the question that you ask, and I think she's ready to give you an answer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to ask Ms. Mead if she would help to clarify the issue about whether the citizens from Engineers Cutoff can speak about items that are related to the property, but not to the zoning.
So no, they can't speak at public hearing tonight, but there is a process to protest the Planning Commission's recommendation for the rezone. That's in 4975-130, which is available online. It lays out the protest process. The protest must be filed with the municipal clerk within 20 days of the posting of the notice of decision on CDD's website. I don't know what date that was posted, but the hearing was on the 26th. Even if it were posted immediately, the deadline for the protest to be filed would be the 15th of June.
Any questions, Ms. Purcell?
No questions. Thank you.
All right. Regulation commercial passenger vehicles, vehicle standards. Madam Clerk.
Regulation commercial passenger vehicles.
I knew I just read it and I'm going, oh, great. Didn't give you anything to do. Sorry. Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, at the request of a pedicab company, this regulation is brought forward for consideration. As currently adopted, the commercial passenger vehicle regulations allow only one class of regulated vehicles to provide limited optional markings, which can include commercial advertising. This regulation change would allow all endorsement classes to display signage in addition to any required service endorsement markings. There'd be no fiscal impact to the city and borough from this change. No other changes to the CPB regulations are included in the proposed amendment. The proposed regulation changes were properly noticed and advertised for public comment as required in CBJ code. A public hearing was not held. There were no comments on the regulations other than a question to clarify the language. I recommend that you approve this regulation change.
Okay, and the regulations go under orders of the day, correct? Ms. Kladyszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a question about, so just refresh my memory about Class A, B, and C, et cetera. A was cabs, and so up until this change, only taxi cabs could have advertising. Now taking this away, that means buses and crew shuttles, and anybody can have advertising on them. Right?
So this adds in the human power, the pedicabs, B, which would include the buses already were allowed.
Advertising was already on, I thought the advertising was only allowed on taxi cabs. No? Class A is what it says here. Isn't that taxi cabs?
There was another, Mr. Mayor. There was another slightly confusing provision that suggested that tour companies could have advertising as well, but this clarifies that. This regulation would clarify that too.
That all vehicles, crew shuttles, buses, pedicabs, which is the point of this one, and so nobody commented on that? Nobody had an issue with any of that advertising? Did they know?
We notified the holders of the permits and publicly noticed the change.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Ms. Stroll?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's somewhat related, but a little bit off topic, in that we've had some public testimony regarding the fee for pedicabs, and is that under review or going to be revisited? Will we see something come back to us at a later date?
Mr. Mayor, it's not currently under consideration. That would entail a larger change to the regulations. That would not be a small fix. This change is brought forward because we had one vendor who pointed out inequity in the system, and we thought that was reasonable, and we proposed the changes to fix that problem. The fee issue for the CPV regs would involve a substantial public process were we to undertake that as a project.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just correct me my memory, but the fees, as I recall, there is a sliding scale for fees. In other words, there's a base amount, like $1,500, if that's true, and then you pay an extra amount per vehicle. Is my memory, is that correct? So everybody pays whatever it is, if it's $1,500, and then if you have five buses, you pay whatever the fee for per bus.
Mr. Manager.
I can address that. If I might, yes, okay, that is a correct statement.
Just,
and fees vary according to the service of vehicle that's also being permitted.
But you also pay more if you have more vehicles.
Yes, you pay more if you have more vehicles, but everyone pays the flat $1,500, which helps run the program.
Correct. Thank you.
And we are reviewing those amounts to see if there are differences.
Any other questions or comments? Okay. Orders of the day.
Yes. Mr. Mayor, I move orders of the day.
Is there any objection? Okay. Adopted. Regulation small boat harbor fees. Madam Clerk.
And charges. Monthly mortgage fees. Monthly prepaid discount.
Mr. Manager.
As a result of the ongoing Dachshund Harbor's fee review initiative, the Dachshund Harbor's board proposes making changes to the monthly mortgage fees and the monthly prepaid discount. The board proposes that annual rate adjustments be the same monetary amount for both the Stater Harbor and the downtown harbors. If approved, the annual rate adjustment shall be tied to the preceding calendar year Anchorage CPI applied to the downtown harbor monthly mortgage fee. The current regulation allows for both the Stater Harbor monthly mortgage fee and downtown harbor monthly mortgage fee to independently be linked to the Anchorage CPI. The monthly mortgage fees for FY17 for Stater Harbor and downtown harbors is $7.15 per lineal foot and $4.25 per lineal foot, respectively. The Dachshund Harbor's board proposes a mortgage discount of 10% for owners who pay the mortgage 1 year in advance. Currently, the annual discount is 5%. The board also proposes new regulations allowing for 5% discounts for owners who desire to pay in advance for each semi-annual period. Dachshund Harbor's properly noticed the proposed changes consistent with CBJ ordinance and held a public hearing on June 6th. Dachshund Harbor's received one formal comment in support of the proposed regulations change. I recommend you approve these regulations.
Okay, again, we'll be using orders of the day. Mr. Gill, you want to move that? Mr. Nanker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a question for law. I have a boat in the harbor, and I pay year-round. Do I need to recuse myself from this? I was asking the lawyer.
So, you, it's the same as you voting on the mill rate. You are a part of a very large class of individuals. I don't think that's that you have a conflict, but if you feel like you have a conflict and you cannot be fair, then you should so say and ask to be recused.
Thank you, Ms. Attorney. I have no issues in the extent of what I would have for the milling rate, so thank you.
Okay. Mr. Gill. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move orders of the day.
Are there any objections? Okay, tri-party agreement. Madam Clerk.
A tri-party agreement between AELMP, CBJ, and DIPAC for water use.
Mr. Manager.
The tri-party agreement between Alaska Electric Light and Power, Douglas Island Pink and Chum, and the City and Borough of Juneau must be renewed. The agreement documents the joint use of the lower Salmon Creek water discharged through the Salmon Creek powerhouse. All parties work together collaboratively to maximize the use of available water and to negotiate in good faith any future capital infrastructure needs. The CBJ existing water rights of 15 cubic feet per second for Lower Salmon Creek have been reaffirmed as unchanged in the agreement. There is no financial contribution needed from CBJ to execute this agreement. The renewed agreement is required for inclusion in the AELMP FERC application that will be submitted on August 23, 2016. The existing agreement will automatically expire on October 21st, 2016. Public Works and Facilities Committee unanimously approved this action at its May 16th meeting. I recommend that you authorize me to sign the tri-party agreement on behalf of the City and Borough.
Ms. Stroll.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly authorize the manager to sign the tri-party agreement and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Motion carried. Staff reports. Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, two items. Briefly, earlier in the agenda, we gave you an amount of information for the marijuana cultivation application, and it was a subset of what was available. And we think that that's probably the right amount of information to provide when we have a new application. And subsequent years, when we have renewals, we will try to mirror the amount of information that we provide for alcohol renewals. And we just wanted to clarify that that level of information works for the body.
Any objections working it that way? Mr. Manager.
Second issue, we've got Chief Johnson here in the audience, and you heard some compelling testimony, and he would be available for comments and questions should the Assembly wish information on a timely basis.
Okay. Is there anyone that would like to stroll?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. If the police chief doesn't feel too put on the spot, I would really appreciate his reaction to the concerns about downtown assaults and what the police department is doing to address them.
Sorry, I'm not in uniform. I wasn't planning on talking today, but just listening. So there were several assaults that took place downtown. There was a group of people. We identified who we thought was the ringleader, and to the city attorney's office credit, that person did end up in jail, and they worked very hard to try to keep them there for as long as possible. With specific to the assault that took place at the Alaska Bar, the victim in that case did a very good job of moving to where there were cameras. He was a really, really smart victim. He didn't call 911. He ran straight to the substation, so the officer immediately rendered aid and called CCFR to help him. That case is still an open investigation. We should put out video shortly to help identify one person in that case. We've identified most of the people, and we'll work with the district attorney's office in that specific case. That will just take a little time. That just takes some time. Statistically, last year I already talked about what was going on last year. Violent crime is down for the first quarter this year, but we did have those things going on downtown. We're highly aware of it and are actively working the ones that we have. The assault that took place last night, there was one that was yesterday. In that case, the victim was not cooperative and would not tell us what happened or who did what, and didn't want to be the role of the victim. So that one we're having more difficulty following up on because the victim did not want us to.
Okay. Ms. Droll?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The people who testified before us made a suggestion that there was a gang that were seen to be repeatedly committing these assaults, and I don't know if that's indeed the situation, but I would like your impression on that, and then also just understanding what more you do to beef up the protection in the downtown area during the summer, and that they suggested it was just oriented toward the tourist, and I'm expecting that we don't just orient it toward the tourists, that we are looking after our residents. So if you care to comment on any of those matters.
Yeah, so when you use the word gang, it has very specific meaning for law enforcement and legally. So a gang is a group of two or more people that have a common name, share common colors, have usually have some sort of turf they claim. It's something you'd be familiar with in other communities. That is not taking place. It is a group of people, but they are not acting in the traditional sense of what you think of a Bloods or Crip gang, if you're saying gang. We've identified several people in this group. Again, one of them we already had arrested for another assault. The one that took place at the Alaska Bar, we have people identified. Some we still need to identify, but we have a good idea of who we're talking about. With these cases, they're not ones that we can immediately put someone in jail for. Usually it takes some follow-up, as the victim said, that the detectives have been contacting them. They give them photo arrays to identify the person. There's a body of work that has to be done, but they are actively working it and following up on that case. As far as the work that we put downtown gets a large portion of the police services for the city and borough of Juneau. At any given time, there's between 4 and 8 officers working in the field, and half of those officers would be assigned to the downtown area, and that's out of patrol. So at a minimum, there's 2 working down there, and there could be up to 4 or 5, depending on the day of the week and the time of day. That's out of the patrol staffing, and they're there every day. That's not based off of tourist season or what boats are in town. In addition to that, we put 2 officers permanently assigned downtown. They're the ones that used to be known as the walking beat officers. That's Officer Ken Colon and Alex Smith. And they work down there every day. They work opposite schedules, so it's one of them on for 12 hours during the day. They usually work some time during the daytime. And their purpose is manyfold. And they will handle most everything that happens down there. But they're assigned down there year-round. It's not just during the tourist season. They'll contact businesses. They contact people. They do crime prevention through environmental design surveys. They have a cell phone they carry, which people down there can call directly to let them know about ongoing problems if it's not an emergency that's going on right now. So they're assigned down there year-round. We do some additional enforcement during the tourist season. Our paid reserve officers will work downtown during the tourist season, and they're retired officers who are part-time employees. They're the only part-time employees we really have, and we'll staff them downtown during the cruise ship season. And this year we'll be putting our school resource officers down there as well during the cruise ship season, because they're not at the schools, but during the rest of the year they're at the schools doing enforcement. So downtown gets a tremendous amount of attention from the police department. There is a few more that work down there during the summer months, and I think that's appropriate given the number of people that are coming into downtown and the call volume, what's going on downtown during those times.
Mr. Nankervis and Ms. White.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Chief Johnson, several people use the word gangs, and that brings a picture to mind for most people. Could you tell me if JPD is aware of any organized gang activity in Juneau?
No, we are not. And I have not seen them personally. I worked a gang unit for many years in my career, and I know quite a bit about street gangs. We will have people come into town who affiliate with gangs in other places, but we have not seen them operate as gangs here. We don't see the gang graffiti. We'll have some tagger graffiti that you see around town, but gang graffiti looks quite a bit different. We don't see people flying colors. We don't see people... there's a lot of signs and signals they give to manifest their membership in a gang, and we don't see that. We have groups of people who will, like this group they're talking about, is more than one person. But if you're looking at the traditional gang sense of Crips, Bloods, people, folk, things like that, that we do not see here, and I have not seen it.
Thank you. Ms. White?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. While you're up there, I just wanted to kind of remind people that you have your ride-along program, and I still need to do that. So that is on my list. And I think it'd be kind of an eye-opener for a lot of people to see some of the stuff you deal with. And you can't forget the rest of the community. I mean, there's a neighborhood, Engineers Cut Off and Fritz Cove Road, that's experiencing an explosion in home invasions lately, which you're aware of. So there's more to Juneau than just downtown. The last thing was whoever's doing your social media is doing a really good job. And it's noticed. And I think it engages the community and could go a long way. And it's unfortunate that so many people left and they don't have those opportunities to learn more about what you're doing.
We'll follow up the victim of the Alaska bar crime. We're doing that repeatedly. And again, he's been a tremendous person to work with. He's been a very, very, occasionally our challenge is to get people to want to cooperate, especially with these crimes that they were talking about. This group is often targeting the most vulnerable population who does not want to report it to the police. And that's why we elevated it in our in what we were trying to do to respond to it, because many of the victims of these assaults were people that didn't want to report it and wouldn't report it, and that makes it even more a dangerous situation. So he by stepping up and being a good citizen is doing a great service to the entire community. He has been a good person to work with. We will continue to follow up with him to make sure his case is resolved.
Mr. Gill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Chief, I think you described well where JPD is putting patrol resources. And I guess it's not terribly surprising that there's bustling commerce and some nightlife. There's a lot of need for police resources. In terms of the follow-up, what we've been hearing descriptions of felony assaults, and those are things that don't go to our city attorney's office. They go to the DA. The state handles those. Can you talk to us about the support that JPD is getting, the partnership, the resources there, and whether those are adequate or whether there are things we can work on?
Adequate is a hard question, so I will tell you no, it's not adequate. They don't have enough attorneys to handle all of the cases that they have. There's more that can be done. They prioritize like we all prioritize. You could say the same thing about most governmental agencies. We have to prioritize what we get and take what we think is the highest priority. The district attorney's office works very closely with us. They're tremendously helpful. When we have these cases, they both help the officers in the investigation and actively help to know what needs to happen to have a successful conviction. There are cases that we think are good that they simply don't feel they have the time to get to. And so there is a portion, and hence you had your driver's license ordinance here today, because that was one of them they simply weren't prosecuting. And so we were trying to get our own ordinance so the city attorney could prosecute it. For the last some time, there's been no prosecution of that particular crime. They were all dismissed. And so they're adequate. I have a hard time saying yes, it's adequate. but on the they prioritize, they do a good job of prioritizing. They work very closely with us, and on the big cases, they're there.
So follow up. I guess, Chief, as you and hopefully as the city attorney think on and continue working on this issue, if there are ideas you can bring to us, if there are ways that we can reach out or collaborate, please let us know. I think you're hearing a lot of interest from members on the Assembly here in addressing these issues on any level that works.
I would just note there were a couple of cases were brought up. One was an assault last year where the person almost died and CPR was given. You know, that was actually one of the downtown officers was out doing active patrol, found him, did the CPR, saved his life. We gave the officer a life-saving medal for that particular case. They investigated that call. The district attorney's office took the case. It was successfully prosecuted. I wish we could stop it all from happening before it happens. Sometimes that's just not possible. In that case they brought up, you know, the officers were pretty quick on the spot. They were the ones that did the CPR and helped save the person's life. They built the case, and it was successfully prosecuted. So I feel like they're doing a good job, and we'll keep working on the ones they're talking about. They are correct, though. There have been several recently.
Okay. Thank you, Chief Johnson.
Thank you.
We're going to take a seven-minute break, and I mean a seven-minute break. Be back here, or we'll start with others.
Okay. Give us a tardy.
Twice as many Alaska Native as non-Native adults use tobacco. Diseases that weren't historically common, like lung cancer, primarily caused from smoking, are now the leading cause of death among Alaska Native people. Celebrate the Alaska Native way of life. Pass down values, knowledge, and traditions, not tobacco. This will strengthen the health of generations to come. For help to quit tobacco, call Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line at 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Brought to you by the Partnership for a Tobacco-Free Southeast and Search.
Do you or someone you care for live with chronic pain or chronic disease like high blood pressure, diabetes, or heart disease? You can learn to manage the symptoms, understand the disease, and communicate more easily with providers. Find a list of Living Well classes offered around the state at livingwell.alaska.gov. This message sponsored by the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services and the American Diabetes Association. Aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
Calling all who run, walk, or wheel to join KTOO for Only Fools Run at Midnight on June 25th. This year's proceeds will benefit public media in Juneau. Start planning your costume or your team theme to compete for prizes at 11 p.m. at Centennial Hall. T-shirts for the first 550 to pre-register, and registration is available now at the Nugget Alaskan Outfitter, the Alaska Club, Habit Health and Fitness, or online at ktoo.org.
And you are tuned to KTOO-FM in Juneau, Alaska. The time is 8:03, and we've been listening to the CBJ Assembly meeting, and they've currently gone on about a five-minute break. Tonight, decreasing clouds, scattered showers in the evening, lows around 44. Tomorrow, increasing clouds, isolated showers in the afternoon, highs around 62. Wednesday, partly cloudy, highs around 74. Thursday, partly cloudy, highs around 69. Friday, mostly cloudy, highs around 65. And Saturday, mostly cloudy, highs around 59. If
you've been thinking you're all that you got, then don't feel alone anymore. 'Cause when we're together, then you got love. 'Cause I am the river, and you are the shore. And it goes on. Step one by one.
reports. You are through with the staff report?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Mayor's report. We did the mayor spoke at baccalaureate, dedication of SLAM, Gasnow Juvenile Rotary. Jesse Keel and Lauren Jones will be on the task force with what we call WAC, which will be Arts Complex. Southeast Conference, Rory will be representing us at the Southeast Conference as a member, as the city manager. And I need a time for a retreat this fall or winter. And I would suggest December 3rd. People start checking the calendars.
A long time. December 3rd, Saturday?
Yeah, I can do that.
Is there anybody that can't make it then? All right. Did you see anybody that couldn't make it? All right, set December 3rd. That ends the mayor's report. Committee and liaison's report, we're going to go through these fairly quickly. Mr. Keel.
I was busy adding the retreat to my schedule. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Committee of the Whole last met on June the 6th. We heard an update from the Parks and Rec Department on some of their ongoing work, and most especially on the upcoming Parks and Rec Master Plan. Members of the public should be alert to notices about that master planning process and the neighborhood parks they care about, the ones they live and work near. We heard an annual report from the Juneau Police Department, some elements of which we touched on this evening, but had a lot of good interaction with the chief on some of the shifts at JPD. They've been very successful in filling some of the previously vacant officer positions, have a lot of newly trained officers who during the last year were one-on-one with their field training officers and are, I don't know if flying solo is the term, Mr. Nankervis, but able to patrol on their own, and that frees up the field training officers also to patrol. So it should extend the police resources we have effectively to do more on top of the pretty impressive job they already do. We considered a couple of tax questions at the Committee of the Whole, one of which was the question of extending the temporary 3% sales tax. We saw ordinances introduced this evening, and we'll hear from the public at our, I believe, July assembly meeting on those. One would extend the 3% for 5 years, as has been the long-running tradition. The other would ask the public if they wish to make that 3% permanent, since it's been a baseline portion of how we fund city operations. The Committee of the Whole also had some discussion about exempting groceries from sales taxes, and staff will be bringing more information back to the committee on that. There is no ordinance yet pending. You saw introduced this evening a potential ballot measure on marijuana sales tax that, if the Assembly forwards it to the voters, if the voters approve it, would tax marijuana and marijuana products on the same basis as alcohol, 3% above our base tax rate of 5. And then the final item that the Committee of the Whole talked about, Mr. Mayor, was the proposed state regulations for marijuana consumption on site at licensed retailers. And if there are members who wish the Assembly to comment on those proposed regulations, those would need to come up under comments and questions this evening to make the deadline. That's it for the Committee of the Whole. Under liaison reports, the UAS Campus Council has not met in the last month. The school board meets tomorrow night, so I'll see as many of you as would like to join me out at Thunder Mountain Library.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Ms. White.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So the Planning Commission has is starting a new, almost, it looks like it might be a new pattern of before they're late in the month meeting doing a committee of the whole for training and actual committee reports to cut down on some of the other, since the other meeting starts at 7. The last Planning Commission meeting issues that came up were a marijuana cultivation permit, which passed, an asphalt permit, which did not, the rezoning, which was brought to us, engineers cutoff, and an update on the wetlands management plan. Tomorrow night, they'll be discussing the new lease for the Thane Ore House and another asphalt plant. And I'm quickly learning that while lots of people voted for marijuana, nobody likes it where anywhere near grown or sold anywhere near where they live, work, or play. And while nobody likes driving over potholes, nobody wants an asphalt plant anywhere near where they can see it, which is rather unfortunate because every mile they have to travel with the asphalt in the back of the truck adds exponentially to the cost of building those roads. So, always fun as a liaison to sit in the back and bite your lip. Is it swollen still?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, good. It's tomorrow night. Travel Juno, their website update is going along rather well. And if you go to traveljuno.com on a mobile device, you'll find it's much more mobile friendly. And excitement for them, just a little bit of thing. Travel Juno is what you call a destination marketing association. And like everything else, they have these groups. And one of them is the Destination Marketing Association International. DMAI comes up with something that they call 30 under 30. It's rather common in a lot of different industries. It happens within the real estate industry, but that's not a nationwide thing. It happens in a lot of other industries, but they are an international industry, and Travel Juno's very own Kevin Crowley was recognized as one of these 30 people in the travel industry as one of their big up-and-coming. So it's a huge, huge win for Juno to have Kevin on board. And that's what I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. White. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Due to my foreign travels, I have not attended any liaison, I have no liaison report and no committee report, and I'll make a few comments about the travel, very few, at the end of when you go to
Assembly comments. Thank you, Ms. Becker. Mr. Nankervis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Finance Committee has not met since we last met and will not meet again before we next meet. Docs met Thursday, May 26th regarding Douglas Harbor. Tricano is planning to mobilize for their work on September 6th. Regarding Statter Harbor, CECON lawyers have filed a demand letter compelling Miller Construction to use them as the asphalt paving subcontractor. The Miller Construction asphalt plant is before the Planning Commission June 14th, which I think is pretty soon. There's the substantial completion date for Statter Harbor remains July 16th, and PND got the bid for the design phase 3 at Statter Harbor. Aurora Harbor, there's a public meeting at 5 p.m. on June 15th at the Yacht Club to talk about Aurora Harbor and what's going on there. Most of the talk will probably revolve around relocating and how to do that, the boathouses that are at the harbor. The long-range management plan, Corvus Design will brief the docs board at the next meeting, reference their May 18th public meeting on that topic. And the Thane Ore House, as Ms. White spoke about, Central Council of Clinton Haida's proposed lease will begin their vetting process through Docks and Harbors, Lands, Planning Commission, and eventually us. And that's all I have, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Ms. Klasnowski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You asked for short, a couple of meetings. The Public Works Facilities Committee was canceled on June 6th for lack of action items, but we most of us went to the SLAM opening, so that was great. And the next meeting is June 27th for that committee. The Parks and Rec Advisory Committee was canceled on the June meeting for lack of a quorum. They next meet on July 5th. Bartlett Hospital Board met May 24th, discussed a number of things, reported that the pilot hospitalist program will start on June 6th and run through September. So for the summer, there are 8 physicians participating doing 12-hour shifts, and they're directly hired by the hospital. They've all been working in BRH in some other capacity in the past. Half will be doing pediatrics, and the other half will be doing family medicine. The rural demonstration project is bill in the Congress is still alive. It, in fact, came out of committee, so that's worth several million dollars to Bartlett, so they're still following that, and that's not dead, so that's good news for them. Jane Stevens will be moving to BRH on June 6th, moving physically to her offices, new offices there. And then we had heard, the Assembly has heard several times about CAMU, the Child and Adolescent Mental Health 12-bed possibility. I think we heard about that last about a year ago. There's a committee of still working on that, and they're going to review the final feasibility study at their meeting at the middle of this month and make a recommendation to the board on the 21st. And then the expectation is that the board will endorse the committee's recommendation, and that will be here, come to the Assembly on the 27th at the next COW. And the Bartlett Board next meets on June 28th. And then presiding officer report, would you like that now? That's the next.
Go ahead.
So the appeal OMO LLC versus Board of Adjustment, the parties met and decided on a hearing date of for November 9th, which is a finance committee, same day as a finance committee meeting, hoping to meet then. But I understand there might be some more conflict with members, so trying to get a date for that hearing. How would you suggest we do that? November 9th, it looked like November 9th would work for everybody here, but somebody might be out of the state. Mayor.
November 9th is a Monday.
November 9th is a Wednesday. It looked like everyone was going to be here, but is that not true anymore?
That's my understanding that is not true. Well, two that I know of will not be present.
So how does you suggest we get a date for this? The parties have already agreed to November 9th. We looked at everybody's calendar. It looked like November 9th would work, but it sounds like it doesn't. What would you like to do, members, on this assembly? I do it. I pick a date. I'll get another date to you next soon. What about the 16th?
In November?
Mm-hmm.
I know that later in November would probably be better for me. The 3rd through the 10th is usually a week that I travel.
Okay, well, I'll work.
November 30th. No, Mr. Mayor, November 30th is an open Wednesday.
Can we not just circulate this
by
email?
Yep, we will. That's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Ms. Kroll.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Lands Committee met on June 6th, and at that committee meeting, we first heard a presentation about film regulations and decided that there was some interest in pursuing impact-based regulations for large production companies and encourage staff to work with Juno Travel and bring back more refined proposals to the Lands Committee. We also had a financial review of the Renninger subdivision and Jackie Street, and the thing of note there was that the staff, that there's more value coming out of Renninger Street than cost going into it at this point in time, was the bottom line of the staff presentation. We had some discussion about Peterson Hill subdivision. We had more public testimony on that from some of the developers. The question before the Lands Committee was, do we want to do workshops and or work sessions? And the committee decided that the Peterson Hill subdivision should proceed to the Planning Commission. And the next Lands Committee meeting is June 27th. Then the next evening was the Affordable Housing Commission meeting, and the Affordable Housing Commission finalized the Housing Action Plan, approved it, and it will be going next to the Planning Commission. They then went through their task list and prioritized things as they fit into their overall three priorities for the next year. The Affordable Housing Commission is the three big priorities are implementation of the Housing Action Plan, number one. Number two, develop some funding streams for housing and not relying on us looking to generate revenues necessarily through taxes, but seeking grants and other programs. And then their third priority is to clear the path for private sector housing development. And so what they did was go through all their, they had about 20 different tasks, and they fit them into these three priorities, and which will help define the Affordable Housing Commission's work program for the next year or more. The Peterson Hill subdivision came up before, but our city manager had an opportunity to talk to the chair of the Affordable Housing Commission before the meeting, and they want to take up the invite to sit down with the city manager and the lands manager to kind of go over some concerns they have about the concept. And so there was no official action taken by the Affordable Housing Commission, but it's my understanding the city manager and the Community Development Department plan to meet with interested members of the Affordable Housing Commission, as well as several of the developers that have come before the Lands Committee and other people to try and see how to address their concerns. And then the Affordable Housing Commission had a pretty lengthy discussion about their public comment protocol, because we had three members of the Affordable Housing Commission come speak to us about Peterson Hill, yet they weren't representing the Affordable Housing Commission. So the Affordable Housing Commission doesn't really have any official position on the Peterson Hill subdivision. There are those members that have concerns, and there is now an avenue for them to begin to address those concerns. On June 8th, the Juneau Commission on Sustainability met, and there they finalized the energy plan that they've been working on, and that will be coming to the Committee of the Whole on June 27th. And that concludes my report, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Trull. Ms. Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have two liaison reports. The first one is from the Eagle Crest Board. Eagle Crest manager Matt Lillard is currently working on a pricing structure for FY17. The board and the manager are also working on a plan for beer and wine sales and perhaps a new restaurant manager. Because Matt Lillard also oversees the Diamond Park Fieldhouse, we've been without a manager in that position for a few months, and but Matt's ready to open that up now, so there's a position available there, full-time position managing it at up to $20 an hour. Eagle Crest board meets the first Thursday of each month, so the next meeting is July 7th, and at that time the board will be presenting manager's review on Matt Lillard. The second liaison report I have is for the Local Emergency Planning Committee. Just to highlight, the presentation from the last meeting was from the National Guard, and since the National Guard is not currently focusing on deployment, they're offering their services and to the city of Juneau and hoping to just get more involved in community activities and helping out in any way that they can. The LEPC meets on the second Wednesday of the month. And so the next meeting is July 13th, 12 o'clock, Bartlett Regional Hospital, Administration Boardroom. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Ms. Purcell. Mr. Jones, I know you have some business.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee met just prior to the assembly meeting tonight, and we had several matters before us. The first was the Historic Resources Advisory Committee, and we their annual report, which you will find in your packet. There was a few questions related to that. We also had appointments. We had before us two open seats. We were informed during the meeting that another member had just recently resigned, giving us three seats. But there was only one applicant. And so the Human Resources Committee is recommending the reappointment of Zane Jones to a term that expires June 30, 2019.
Is there any objection to that nomination? Mr. Jones?
Okay. Anybody listening in that wants to be on the Historic Resources Committee, there's two vacancies. Please apply. We also heard from the Juneau Commission on Aging. We also had their annual report that was presented to us. There were two open seats on the Juneau Commission on Aging. The Human Resources Committee recommends the reappointment of S. Bryn Keith and a new appointment of Christine Blackcoat for terms expiring June 30, 2019.
Is there any discussion or objection to those nominations? Seeing none, Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We also had an annual report from the Juneau Commission on Sustainability. We had quite a bit of discussion related to their finalization of the energy plan, which I believe is coming before the Committee of the Whole. Also some discussion about one of the major measurements for sustainability that was part of the plan that was approved in 2010 was related to reduction in carbon emissions. And they expressed concern over the major measurement was sale of fossil fuels. And in the last year, two of the three fuel distributors in town have not been willing to report sales. So that was a concern because without those reported sales, they can't continue on their measurements. So there was some discussion about how that might work a little bit easier. Again, we had five seats available on the Juneau Commission on Sustainability, three seats with terms expiring in 2019. One seat expiring 2018 and one seat expiring on 2017. The committee recommends the reappointment of John Smith III, Kate Bevigny, and Duff Mitchell to seats expiring June 30, 2019.
Any discussion or objection?
We also are recommending the appointment of Zane Jones to a seat, term beginning immediately and expiring June 30, 2018.
Any objection to that nomination? Thank you, Mr. Jones.
So that still has one seat remaining that's vacant if people in the listening audience want to apply. We also had appointments for the Juneau Human Rights Commission. We had two seats open. The Human Resources Committee recommends the appointment of Brita Tonenson to a term beginning immediately and expiring May 31st, 2019.
Any discussion or objection? Motion was approved.
And then we also recommend the appointment of Michael Scott to a term beginning immediately and expiring May 31st, 2018.
Okay. Any discussion or objection? Nomination was approved.
We also reviewed suggested legislative change to the resolution governing the Youth Activities Board. This was brought forward through the Youth Activities Board, through the Attorney's Office, and to the City Manager. During our discussion with the City Manager, there was one recommended change, so there will be a version B developed, and that will then be brought forward for introduction to the Assembly. And it basically deals with mostly some of the funding issues related to some discussion they've had about use of leftover monies and whether we would really have a contingency. So that'll be before us. And that's the Human Resources Committee. Also remind you, you have blue folders in front of you for Wednesday's meeting at 5:30. Docks and Harbors Board. The Aquatics Board will be before us. That is also the same day that the Airport Board and Eagle Crest will be before us. Applications will be closed, and that will be on the 29th of June, the meeting of the Committee of the Whole. Liaison reports, the Juneau Economic Development Council met. Most of their business was related to the budget before them and the actions of the Finance Committee through the Assembly's budget. They did not deal with approving their budget at this point. There were still some changes that needed to be made related to one particular program that may or may not be continuing after July 1. They also talked about the Choose Juneau website, the Breaking Even on the Maritime Festival. The STEM summer camps are running. The first 2 weeks were sold out, and those have been pretty successful. In addition, because of the discussion we had related to STEM funding, there was a corporate fundraiser for the first STEM project up in Anchorage June 7th and was sponsored by BP, Alaska Airlines, GCI, Alaska Communications. There have been long-term supporters. Through that process, there's some new sponsors, ConocoPhillips, Tesoro, and Delta Western, plus several others that are still considering it. The event firmed up the corporate funding from some providers, added some new ones, and at the end of that fundraiser, they basically were able to confirm over $157,000 for the STEM program for next year. So I think that is pretty successful. Their next meeting, I believe, is July 20th, and then they will not be meeting in August. The Downtown Business Association met Tuesday of last week. A lot of discussion about their membership attending the Main Street America convention back in Milwaukee. And from that, the DBA plans to begin discussions that may or may not lead to formation of a business improvement district. They learned a lot about that. They were convinced that they possibly needed to work on something like that, but they weren't sure that they could do something for another couple of years, just based on the process that other communities had used that they need to now engage in. Somewhat tied to the Juneau Economic Plan about the Downtown Revitalization Plan, also some issues around visioning. What is it that the downtown businesses and others would like to see as part of downtown and would drive the formation of a business improvement district? They're looking at sometime in September bringing somebody up to help them do some visioning work to begin that process. They're also scheduled a meeting, I believe it's later this month, with the Downtown Partnership in Anchorage to look at how they have formed and what their purpose is and what they've been doing up there. And I believe their next meeting is on the 12th of August. The Joint Commission on Aging, I did not attend the June meeting. I was up in Anchorage, and I may or may not be able to make the July meeting. I have some tentative travel arrangements that aren't firmed up yet. Airport Board is meeting tomorrow night. And then in addition, I met almost 3 hours the same day that we had the JEDC board meeting with a group in town that, for lack of a better term, are now calling themselves All Juno Youth and Children Prosper. It's a group of social service providers in town that are looking at how they might be able to, within both their organizations and outside their organizations, sort of have a collective impact on the youth in Juneau. And the 3 hours that we met, we're meeting with Megan Murphy from Homer and Desiree Shepler from the MATSU related to their efforts over the last couple of years to form groups that are into this collective impact on how all of the agencies together can measure various impacts. It was a pretty good learning experience. It was an interesting discussion. And I can't tell you when they're meeting again, but sort of an enjoyable group for me who's been in this town for 35, 40 years to hear topics that I've heard at least 200 or 300 times in my 40 years. It's always nice to have younger persons that are energetic and wanting to change the world. So that was a nice thing to do. And I believe that's the end of my liaison and committee reports. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. And we're going to start the assembly comments with you.
Nothing tonight, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Ms. Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a concern. And I spoke to a couple of staff at DEC this morning and shared some photos that I took at Ock Lake, and I thought this would be a good place to bring these photos to the city because I know the assembly, before I was on the assembly, made some decisions about things like boat length and maybe due to safety issues. But now there seems to be some pollution problems due to oil. The pictures I took are oil sheen. And I'm just wondering if there's support from the assembly to look at a possible way that we can keep this from happening. People at DEC seem to think that this was due to either two-stroke engines or people. This is the common thing that happens this time of year. People come in with ocean-going boats. They back them in to the lake. They run the motors, clean out the bilge, and sometimes dump their halibut carcasses on the boat ramp. And I swim there pretty often, so I'm familiar with the lake. So, Lori, did you have that thumb drive? If you, I'd just like to share these pictures with you because they're kind of surprising.
Hmm?
Is that okay?
If that's okay.
Did you share these with anybody in any of the departments?
Lori helped me put them on the thumb drive, that's all. I did call Rory this morning and gave him a heads up that I just wanted to share this. But he didn't see the pictures. I just talked to him about it.
Sure, if we can do it quickly.
Yep. So really, I'm just wondering if there is something that CBJ can do. I don't know about, there's nothing that I could see on the signage saying that you can't clean your bilge or take an ocean-going boat here and clean it out. Since there's no regulation on boat length, now any boat can go in there and clean out, and that seems to be what the problem is. That's not the sheen.
That's an upside-down parrot.
Mr. Mayor, while we're waiting for those photos, so we just for the information of the assembly, we do have an ordinance on the books that prohibits some activities in the lake. It is a state water body, so we are not the entity that regulates water quality. We do have two park rangers that enforce our rules in all of our parks. So it's a relatively limited enforcement presence that we have. And in order to do something about the event that happened, somebody would have to be caught in the act of doing it. And so what these photos are presumably is the aftermath of that activity.
Ms. Stroll?
Yeah, in response to Ms. Purcell's request about interest on the assembly, I was here when we first came to this issue and we were addressing the boat length thing. And this aspect of them cleaning their bilges out sort of came up, but we really didn't see it as related to boat length, and it was a separate problem. So the way I remember it is that this was a problem that we really didn't address head on. So I, for one, would be willing to revisit, you know, whatever rules and regulations we have around Auk Bay. We have a PRAC. I don't know if that's the first place to begin to kind of revisit these rules regarding public recreation on Auk Lake, or maybe our lawyer has a suggestion.
Madam Attorney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Because we have some oversight and management of the water body, but because if it's a state water body, we cannot enact any ordinances or regulations that address water quality. Our authority to regulate activity on the lake is limited to those activities that affect the uplands, because we own the uplands, or we have jurisdiction over the uplands. So our ability to do things is somewhat limited. If you do wish to bring this forward, I think that we need to make sure that the PRAC understands what the limit of our authority is to address this.
Mr. Gill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My memory is probably failing me. I could swear that we forbade cleaning bilges out specifically in our ordinance.
And that is correct. We did because of the effect that it was having on the upland owners.
We already did that.
Yeah.
Okay. So then that would be an enforcement question. But it does bring to mind some broader questions about Auk Lake. And as memory serves, I'm going to try two for two on my memory here. It's risky. Parks and Rec was putting together a fair amount of use information on the lake. And I know that there were some surveys and some cameras to reduce the number of staff hours required, and we were looking at who used what boats and how often jet skis and the like, because of some of the safety and user conflict issues out there. I might ask the manager when we could expect to see the results of those come back, what the status of that project is, maybe to bring that information back to us.
Mr. Manager?
I wasn't aware of that, but we can look into that and try and bring that back.
Sorry.
Ms. Purcell, could you get together with the manager so we can either decide to run it through the committee system or bring it back to the assembly the next time?
Yes, I can do that. Thank you.
Anything else? Ms. Purcell?
Oh, nothing else.
Thank you. Ms. Troll.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Like many of the other members here, I participated in the opening of the slam building, and what a great event that was. It was just a moment of Juno pride in our history and all the determination of all the people to come together to produce such an incredible building. It's going to be just an exciting asset to our community. So I also want to just ask the appreciate the police chief coming and talking to us impromptu about their efforts on dealing with the downtown assaults, and I just encourage him to continue their focus there. It's a disturbing problem that, and I'm glad we have the policemen and the hours that we do have, just wherever we can step it up appropriately, I would like to see that. I know that we're going to take a break on finance committee meetings, but somewhere along the line, I do hope we continue on with looking at the option for doing online payment of our city bills and things. And I remember Mr. Bartholomew talking about there were lots of policy questions related to that. So I'm hoping that even though we take a little break from finance, we do proceed on moving forward. And that's my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hall. Ms. Blasio.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. One question. At the last COW, we talked about sales tax on food, and we needed some information. Is that back at the next COW on the 27th? Is that when that information? Okay, just checking to see when that's. Okay, thank you. And then my other comments are basically thanks to everybody who worked on SLAM, that entire event and the entire building. A lot of people went, as Ms. Troll said. Also, thanks to everybody who came and everyone who organized Celebration. Again, another just incredible event for this town. It's just getting bigger and bigger and better and more, just more wonderful. And we're happy. I'm so glad we can host that here in Juneau. Also, I wanted to thank there was a Pride picnic yesterday. That community obviously was quite devastated by the Orlando events, and I just wanted to give a shout out to JPD for showing up to that, for expressing their concern for that community, for telling people there that they had their backs. Basically, Lieutenant Sal got up and said, "I have four words for you: we have your backs," and that was very much appreciated. And so I just wanted to thank JPD for that and for their class that they exhibit every day. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Dan Kervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ditto on the SLAM and Celebration. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dan Kervis. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll make this very quick because it's getting quite late. And there are lots more information about the trip to Denmark and Norway that I can share, but I'll just condense it to the fact that the first thing we did when we hit Denmark, we went to the House of Green, and that just started the whole thing. We knew where we were going at that point. The goal of both of those countries is to be totally carbon-free by 2025. And neither of them are there, but statistically, Denmark said that they've got a 27% from when they started. They've increased their lack of carbon by 27%. And so they're feeling good about that. Both countries do many kinds of heating, not just water. They do pellet and still oil and diesel and garbage. So garbage was one thing, too, that was not real prevalent, but it was out there. And the Norway, when we went to Norway, went to Oslo, and then we went to Drammen, which is outside of Oslo, and that's where they really have gone to water heat, using the water systems similar to what Juneau Hydroelectric is going to do, and that's why actually we went to Norway to see that kind of process, which is very interesting. The things that to me are real different, or some things that happen over in those two countries, is there's a lot of government-private industry partnership, and actually the government makes quite a few decisions about where they're going to establish a carbon-free zone. And these private companies, or these companies who do the work and put in the infrastructure, are kind of told, you can have this section of the town, and by every time someone new builds or they need to have a new heating system, they have to go into one of the processes that will not give any carbon. and in most cases it's a water process is what they're really kind of going toward. And a lot of government help in that area. It's not all private. And one of the other things that we did there is we met with some city officials. There were just me. I was the only city official. And then there were two people who didn't fit into the engineers category of the seven who went. So we met with city officials and just talked about how they set up things in the city to be supportive of the whole effort of being carbon free by 2025. Very interesting trip. I learned a lot. I don't think I could put in a system right now, but at least I understand a little bit about how it works. And I was sorry that there couldn't have been more from our staff, because that would have been real interesting. Just on other things, I did do 2 days of touring because I went early. And I got 2 days in Copenhagen. Wonderful, beautiful. Oslo is absolutely gorgeous. I had 1 day there. And flying business class is the way to go. And the food. Oh, my goodness. Food. This is the largest stop I could find.
I can lend you one.
Yes. Anyway, it's just wonderful. And the people are unbelievably nice. Just so nice. You hear that all the time, but I can tell you it's very true. Very nice. I'd never been there before, so I'm quite enthused about going to Denmark, Norway. So that's it. That's enough.
Thank you, Ms. Baker.
Thank you, Ms. Rick. Can I ask Ms. Beck a question? Did you bring back materials or websites, or are you going to give us
yes,
some of that stuff?
I do have websites.
Okay, that'd be great.
Ms. White.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ditto on Flamin's celebration, although I'll admit to going to a smaller group first celebration. I don't do well in crowds. Speaking of crowds, I was actually kind to our city manager when he came and spoke to my Rotary Club. He's nodding, so I was. On a more somber note, and it leads back to not liking crowds, and it makes me think of what we heard about goings-on in downtown. This is not a place where we can let our community slip. Everybody needs to remain alert and aware of their surroundings and report things and activities that they find disturbing. You know, we had the events in Orlando, an attempt in Los Angeles not too long ago, a recent attempt in Seattle, and with just family members and friends I have that are part of that community. I just think it's incumbent upon all of us that when we see something, whether it's something suspicious or a behavior of people that's inappropriate, we all need to stand up and have people's backs and say that that's not right. And, I just know that none of us want our own community to have that kind of national exposure. Been on my mind quite a bit the last few days, and I'm sure it has on everybody else's. And there are plenty of other things I wanted to speak up about tonight, but I just don't have the will. But thank you.
Thank you, Ms. White. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Let me echo everyone's applause for SLAM having played quite possibly the single tiniest part in moving it forward over the last, 14 years. I was as proud as I could be. The people who did the real work deserve to be tremendously proud of what they brought to this state, not just this community. Let me echo the applause as well for celebration and Ms. Gladyszewski's comments on the Pride events. I also want to thank and applaud specifically the Parks and Rec staff. Sunday morning broke with terrible news, and some folks in the LGBT community who are here tonight by the afternoon decided they wanted to have a vigil, and of course nobody's at the city on Sunday afternoon. First thing Monday morning, it was done in about 15 minutes. Phone call came at 8, and everything was completely settled to have it at Marine Park, a city facility, 815, Parks and Rec, hop to, and just made it happen. Never a question, never a hassle. So my thanks to city staff and applause to city staff for just getting it done. Let's see. I had the opportunity, we actually haven't met in a while, had the opportunity to join the Southeast Native Veterans on Memorial Day, and I know that a number of us were at a number of different Memorial Day events. It's been a while now. I got to attend two other good events in the last couple of weeks. On National Trails Day, Trail Mix worked together with the city and a whole bunch of volunteers on improvements to what I will misname the Cax Trail from Brotherhood Bridge, heads north into the valley there. It has a Tlingit name that I can't pronounce, and I won't butcher it trying. But that was something that I know Parks and Rec worked on, and Trail Mix made happen with a huge number of volunteer hours with shovels and wheelbarrows and rakes. And I ached in places I didn't know I had places from my little part in that. And not having gotten enough of that, last weekend the Forest Service got together with Trout Unlimited and a whole different group of volunteers. I don't think I saw any overlap except for my aching back on the Tolch Creek Trail up near Skater's Cabin and relocated a portion of that trail by hand, away from the spawning stream there. So I wanted to note that work is going on and applaud the folks who organized it and who came out and volunteered. Two more comments and then a question. I neglected under committee reports to flag, I know you all probably noticed it, but to flag that we have a special committee of the whole meeting on Tuesday the 21st. We don't usually meet on Tuesday. It's an extra meeting beyond our normal schedule. Tuesday the 21st to take public testimony on the Equal Rights Ordinance that was introduced tonight. So I just want to make sure that we've all got that on our calendars and that the public is aware of it. And then under liaison reports, I have, or actually I think Ms. Sika has somewhere, the policy statements for the Alaska Municipal League. And we can pass those around or email them around. A couple of years ago, AML changed its procedure for its policy statement to get away from two things. One was a stack of policy statements half an inch thick, several of which contradicted one another. It was problem one. Problem two was that individual members of assemblies would bring them forward to the AML annual meeting, and the municipalities they represented had no idea what was being brought forth in their name. So the rule now is, if you want to change the AML policy statements, add one, subtract one, you need to bring a resolution from the assembly you serve on. So I want to get copies of all those to all of you. If somebody wants to bring forward a proposed change, let's get it through the assembly and to the Municipal League. Luckily, it's about 5 pages now, not a half an inch thick. So that was a positive change. It won't be a lot to read. Finally, and I appreciate everyone's indulgence letting me blather on, a question for the manager as we heard about some of the questions around the Peterson Hill area. There was mention of a past LIA. I wonder, I tried to find it during the meeting. I couldn't. Could we get the terms, please, about LID? Was it a 90-10? Was it a 60-40? If you could bring that back, it would help refresh my memory about the terms on which we done folks there for the sewer infrastructure.
We'll do that, and there were at least two LIDs.
Even better. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. I would just comment and commend the Assembly for bringing the good, the bad, and the ugly in the assembly comments, but I think that's, you know, how we are, and a lot more good tonight. I do have one report that I neglected to ask, and that was from the deputy manager. Do you have the report on aging?
I think that should be saved for executive session. Just saying.
Oh. All right. If you're unaware, it's your birthday. All right. That brings us to continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Was there something that we didn't have an opportunity to hear from on non-agenda items? Yeah, you can. Hey, if you're going to come up to the...
Okay. Yeah. Eric mentioned there has to be major changes. They have to, for pedicycle, they have to make a separate class for pedicycle altogether, okay? And they have to get it so it's all year round, okay? And they actually can work at night, because if you work on the year round, you're going to have to light. Now, when it comes to, as a suggestion about Miller Construction, make sure you have a stiff completion bond. Very stiff. Okay? You understand what I'm getting at? If they renege, okay, what they did in Outbay, it took forever to get that job done. Okay? And this is just observant. When I was a student at UAS, they took forever. And I don't want to see the city being taken advantage of perpetually keeping Miller Construction working. End of subject.
Okay. That concludes public participation on non-agenda items. We now have an executive session. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly recess into executive session to discuss a matter the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the City and Borough of Juneau, specifically a collective bargaining update with our public employee unions.
All right. Is there objection?
Nope.